Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been nervous about sharing the message of Jesus with others? Have you ever been nervous? I know sometimes we can get nervous about sharing the message of Jesus with people, and I think sometimes it can become a little scary for various reasons. I think sometimes we might be concerned about what people think about us. Are they going to think I'm kind of weird? What are they going to think about me after that? When I see them again, how are they going to view me? There might be different reasons why we're afraid. Maybe we're concerned about people calling us stupid, or we hear about people that have been persecuted, people who have been ostracized because of their faith, and we don't want that to happen to us. So it can be scary sometimes, the thought of telling others about Jesus, but I think sometimes we make it more scary than it needs to be. Just like any kind of fear, sometimes the fear itself begins looming in our imagination and gets bigger and bigger, and I don't think it needs to be as scary as we make it out to be. What if it could be simpler? What if telling the message of Jesus could be less scary? I believe it can be, and I believe it starts with an epiphany. And with that being said, I want to look at our text for today from the gospel lesson, and let's see what we can discover together about the epiphany and the sharing of that epiphany. So our gospel lesson for today is John chapter 1. So we'll go ahead and begin there. John chapter 1, verse 43, it says this: "The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" So the previous day, Jesus had been out and about, and he called Peter and Andrew to be his disciples. And now from the text, what we hear is a guy named Philip is called by Jesus. Jesus says to Philip, "Hey, follow me." And then what do we hear happen? Philip, he goes out and he begins telling a friend of his, Nathanael, about what had just happened. Something clicked in Philip's mind. He had an encounter with Jesus, the Word made flesh. As John chapter 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory." And Philip, we believe, has been reading the scriptures and putting the pieces together, and all of a sudden he realizes this Jesus is important, is significant. And when Jesus says, "Follow me," Philip listens and he goes. But he doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just follow Jesus. He then goes and he talks to his friend Nathanael, because he's had an epiphany worth sharing. So to Nathanael, Philip shares the message. And he said to Nathanael, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Philip has had an epiphany. We've talked about that word epiphany since we're in the epiphany season, but epiphany means revealing. You have an epiphany when you have an aha moment. It happens when you've discovered something, when you've read something, when you've seen an article, and something clicks in your mind. You have a light bulb moment that goes on, and what happens is your mind has figured something out, and your heart has gotten excited about it. I remember growing up reading the magazine, Popular Science magazine. I know, anybody read Popular Science magazine? Maybe a couple of you, but my folks would get to hear about some of the great discoveries of science because I got so excited. I would read the Popular Science magazine articles about the latest technology, about how this particular item worked, and my mind would start getting excited about the future. A lot of the stuff that we have in Popular Science back in the day, we have now for real. It's amazing. I digress. But my folks got to hear about my excitement about Popular Science and the new discoveries because I had an epiphany. I had something that clicked in my mind, and it was exciting, and I was so excited I wanted to share it. I think that can happen with other things as well. I know it happens for people that share those email forwards. I think sometimes they get excited, and there's a really good article or a really cool picture, and we've seen some of those, an amazing nature shot that shows a squirrel or a rabbit or some kind of tree, and people get excited and they want to share it. You've experienced this. You have a Facebook thing that you see, and so you click share, and you share it with those whom you love. I believe that sharing the message of Jesus starts with an epiphany, as we come to the realization of who Jesus is. And that's what happened for Philip. As he says to Nathanael, he says, look, here is the one whom the law and the prophets have spoken about. And what is he referring to? He's referring to the Old Testament, because the law could be considered also the first five books of the Old Testament, what we call the Pentateuch: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And in those, yes, we do have laws that were given to God's people in the covenant relationship, in the Old Covenant. But also, as you read those first five books of the Bible, you're going to see also prophecies, good news of one who was to come. Way back in Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, we see a prophecy given that there would be one to defeat Satan. Later on, Abraham receives a message that through his lineage, through the seed of Abraham, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And if you look at the Old Testament scriptures, as we did somewhat in Advent, looking forward to the birth of Christ, you will see all these prophecies that point to Jesus. And Philip had this aha moment, this light bulb moment that went off in his mind and his heart, and he was excited about it, and he wanted it to be shared with Nathanael, and so he did. I think Philip might have hoped that Nathanael would also be excited. But notice how Nathanael responds at first. Nathanael responds and says, what good can come from Nazareth? You know about those towns, whether here in this area or in other places, that have a reputation. I'm not going to name names, but you might be able to think of a city or a place here in Oregon or wherever you grew up that had kind of a reputation for being, oh, not very sophisticated, kind of not the place you'd want to go at night. You can think of that place in your mind, and you might think to yourself, yeah, that's really not that good of a place. For whatever reason, Nazareth didn't really have the best reputation. And Nathanael may have been rather skeptical. Nazareth? Jesus of Nazareth? Really? But notice how Philip responds. Philip didn't argue with Nathanael. But what did he say? He says those words that you find on the front of your bulletin. Maybe you noticed the bulletin coming in. What are those words on the front of your bulletin? Come and see. Come and see. Check it out for yourself. And so Nathanael does. He goes, and he goes toward Jesus, but Jesus meets him. Notice that. Jesus meets him, and then Jesus has a little conversation with Nathanael, as it says in John chapter 1:47. It tells us this: Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Now, part of me wonders why Nathanael got so excited about Jesus mentioning that he saw him under the fig tree. But there was something miraculous about the fact that Jesus knew where Nathanael was before Jesus had even met Nathanael. But I wonder what Nathanael was doing under that fig tree. Because it may be that Nathanael was doing some thinking about the scriptures. Maybe he was doing some contemplating about the scriptures. Maybe he was praying. Perhaps he was asking the Lord for wisdom or guidance. We don't know. But when Jesus said those words, hey, I saw you under the fig tree, he was impressed, and he gave the first proclamation that Jesus is the Son of God written in the book of John. He says, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And that term, King of Israel, is a messianic term, a term describing the Messiah. And Jesus says, well, you were impressed by that? You ain't seen nothing yet. No, it doesn't say that exactly, but what Jesus says, look, you were impressed that I told you about you under the fig tree? There's some more stuff coming that's going to be amazing. And so Jesus is now revealing himself to Nathanael. And now Nathanael is having an epiphany. He's having that aha moment, that realization. John chapter 1, verse 50 says, Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." What an incredible image that Jesus gives to Nathanael. But there's a neat tie-in. There's a neat connection with Nathanael's lineage. Because earlier, Jesus had described Nathanael as an Israelite. And Israelites were descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is also known as Israel. Jesus gives Nathanael, a descendant of Jacob, an amazing picture about the angels and descending and ascending on, it says, on the Son of Man. What I want to do is take you back to Genesis for a moment and describe something rather similar that happened to Jacob himself. Listen to these words from Genesis 28 and see if they sound familiar. This is speaking of Jacob. "And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and at the top it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac.'" So Jacob saw this amazing vision of Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, with the angels ascending and descending on this ladder, on this ladder. The text from John says that the angels of God, Jesus says the angels of God will be descending on, that's the translation, on the Son of Man. Interesting connection here. What am I trying to get at? Well, Jesus is the ladder between us and God. In the adult information class this past Tuesday, we were again reminded that the gospel, the good news, means that God has come to you. God has come to you, and this is through Jesus Christ. Because we know that we, because of our sin, because of our unrighteousness, because we have turned away from God, we are not capable to ascend to God. But rather, God, in his mercy and his grace for you, descended to us in the person of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. And now Jesus is revealing himself to Nathanael. Nathanael is beginning to have an epiphany, an aha moment. And Nathanael, along with Peter and Andrew and others, they began following Jesus. And what happened later on? What did Jesus tell the disciples to do in Matthew 28? He told these disciples who had an epiphany, who had a realization, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and teaching them to obey everything that he commanded them. Our God is gracious in how he has sent Jesus to you and to me, that we might have an epiphany, that we might have the aha moment. This aha moment is important, is crucial, especially when we are struggling, when we are dealing with our own insufficiency. Because there are times when we might wonder if there's any way that God could forgive us for what we have done. If we examine ourselves and we look at our actions, we wonder if God could ever forgive what we have done. Sometimes we may wrestle with that. Sometimes we might be dealing with difficult and dark situations in which we long for peace and long for hope and long for joy, but Jesus has been sent that you would have true peace, that you would have true joy, and that you would have true hope, knowing that in the midst of whatever darkness right now, that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the one who gives himself that you would have eternal life and light and hope and peace. As it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, our God is the one who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. So now let's put the pieces together. Let's make some connections here. When it comes to evangelism, it can be scary sometimes, the thought of telling others about Jesus. But as I said earlier, it starts with an epiphany. It starts with God revealing himself to us, and then from there, a sharing of that message. Let me ask you this first, though. You don't have to answer me out loud. But as you think back, how did you end up coming to be where you are now? How did you end up coming to this place? How did you end up coming to know the saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you think about it, it was through connections with others. Others who had an epiphany, who came to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, and who then told you, who shared with you, who took you as a baby and brought you to church, that you would hear the word, that you'd be brought to the waters of holy baptism. For those that maybe a friend reached out to you and said, hey, come check out this Bible study. I love how the ladies' Bible study reaches out to a number of people, and there are people in the community blessed by our women's Bible study and our men's Bible study who are coming and hearing the word as friends are reaching out to others and saying, hey, come and see. Come check it out. So just as you were brought to this place or brought to the saving message of Jesus Christ because of other people, we have that opportunity as we have received that epiphany, that aha moment that Christ is the Savior who has come for you. And then in joy and excitement, we get to share that message with others. But you might say to yourself, I'm still nervous, I'm still scared. Well, join the club. Even pastors can get nervous about sharing the gospel, believe it or not. But you know what? Our God is so gracious. I want to share this story with you. So the other day, I was walking over at the Salem River Park, beautiful place, and they put in the new bridge that goes over to Minto Brown Park, great place. I was doing some walking and praying, and I was frustrated with myself because there are times when I'll miss opportunities to share the gospel. You knew it. You said, man, I could have shared Christ at that moment, and you didn't. And I can get feeling bad about that. And I was kind of frustrated with myself and talking to the Lord about it. And on my way back, crossing back over the bridge, I came across a group of people that I happened to recognize. And I got talking with one of them, and his name was Alex. And Alex was wrestling with the very same thing I was that day. It was absolutely amazing. He felt it, kind of that frustration of being nervous about telling others about Christ at times. And pretty soon, Alex and I got talking, and I had the opportunity to remind him of how God is at work in people's lives and how God worked through a man named Peter. Peter, who denied his Lord 3 times. Who did the very opposite of sharing Jesus, he denied his Lord 3 times. And I said, remember Peter, what then happened to Peter later on? Well, Peter was repentant. The Lord restored him, and the Holy Spirit then at Pentecost was there working in Peter's heart. And then Peter was sharing the gospel boldly in front of thousands of people, not because of Peter's strength, but because of the strength of the Holy Spirit working in Peter. So I got to share with Alex this wonderful message and also this reminder. Sharing the message of Christ can start by saying hello. Sharing the message of Christ can start by saying hello. Sometimes we can go through a conversation in our mind before it has happened. Sometimes we can anticipate what someone may or may not say in a conversation and get ourselves all nervous and worked up because, well, maybe they'll say something and ask a question that I don't know. Maybe I won't know. Maybe I'll freeze. I don't know. We can get ourselves all worked up. But as I told Alex, sharing the message of Christ can start by saying hello and asking the Holy Spirit to guide the conversation. The Holy Spirit does wonders. It's not about you, it's about him. It's also, there's a reminder for me and for you that you and I are not called to convert people. You and I are not called to convert people. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. You and I cannot convert people. It is the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word that converts hearts and lives, We just get the privilege of sharing the epiphany, the aha moment of Jesus and what he has done for us. You see, there are people in our society who are hurting. There are friends of yours, family members, people that you know who are hurting, going through struggles. And part of evangelism, part of reaching out, is using these two ears that God has given to us and listening and saying, oh, they're going through a difficult time. They're struggling. And as they hear that we care, as they realize that we love them, then we have the privilege and the opportunity of sharing why we have hope. Sharing why we, even in the midst of our difficult times, can continue going forward. And we can say, it's not because of me, but it's because of my Savior Jesus who loves me, who has died for me. And you know what? He's died for you. He loves you. Can I pray for you? Let's pray and ask the Lord for his peace, for his guidance. And so as we go forward, I pray that God will give us opportunities to share with those people that God has put in our life what God has done for us, sharing the aha moments, the epiphanies that the Lord has brought to us through his word. And sometimes it's as simple as saying those words, come and see. May this be to the praise and glory of our God who has given us an epiphany. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.